C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, September 16th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. You've probably seen advertisements or offers of the online checkout page for so-called buy now, pay later programs that allow consumers to pay for products in installments.
This is a $100 item. Pay $25 a month or $25 every couple of weeks with this payment provider, with this buy now, pay later program. And suddenly the consumer thinks, $25, that's totally manageable for me every couple of weeks or every month.
So how do these programs differ from other payment methods? And what risks do they come with? Our consumer credit reporter, Anna Maria Andriotis, has been keeping tabs on this growing industry. We'll ask her about those questions and more after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
No credit card? No problem. Millions of Americans with poor credit or who don't qualify for credit cards at all can still make purchases through buy now, pay later programs. Companies like Affirm, Afterpay, and Klarna team up with merchants and allow shoppers to pay for big purchases over time. But it's not that simple. There are plenty of finer points consumers should be aware of before using these services. Let's bring in our consumer credit reporter, Anna Maria Andriotis, to talk about it. Anna Maria, thanks for being with us on the show.
Great to be speaking with you.
So how do these buy now, pay later programs work? And how are they different from someone using, say, a credit card to buy something and then just paying it back over time?
These programs allow shoppers to split up payments for a purchase that they're making over several weeks or several months. And it's essentially a program that allows for fixed payments. The consumer knows that they are going to, for example, be buying a $100 dress, and that over the course of a few weeks or a few months, they'll be making a fixed payment amount that will, in the end, result in them having paid off that dress by a certain period of time, so that the consumer knows that as long as they make that set payment whenever it's due, they will be done paying for this dress or sweater or whatever item it is that they are buying by a specific end date. There are controls in these programs that for many consumers do bring peace of mind, because there is a difference between, okay, I'm going to buy this dress with my credit card and just leave it on my credit card and pay a little bit at a time and incur interest charges. And in the meanwhile, I'm making other purchases on the credit card. And for people who aren't paying their credit card bills in full every month, the charges that they put on credit cards can basically be on their cards and be incurring interest on their cards for many months, if not longer.
Now, these programs have been around for a while, and of course, the idea of layaway has been around for ages, but we've seen a number of big retailers offering buy now, pay later as an option more recently. So why is this payment method becoming so popular with consumers?
It's almost like a budgeting tool that, you know, okay, I'm going to be able to pay this off by X specific date because that's just how this plan works. I can't just carry this debt forever. Another reason why they've really become very popular is because, so again, let's say somebody's buying a $100 item and they're thinking, well, you know, am I going to be able to afford this item, or should I do this? The way that they're positioned on many merchants' websites is that, okay, this is a $100 item. Pay $25 a month or $25 every couple of weeks with this payment provider, with this buy now, pay later program. And suddenly the consumer thinks, $25, that's totally manageable for me every couple of weeks or every month. Yeah, you know what? I'll do it. So essentially these programs are meant to encourage people to make purchases they otherwise might not make. The other element of buy now, pay later that resonates with many consumers is that these programs can be easier for people to qualify for than credit cards. In fact, some of the larger buy now, pay later providers, companies like Affirm and Afterpay and Klarna, say that they are able to approve more people for their programs than people who can get approved for credit cards. Essentially, that there are people who they can approve who would get rejected for credit cards or other kind of traditional financing provided by banks. Also, the payment plans are for that specific purchase that's being made. So you're not looking at a credit card with a, you know, $1,000, $5,000 spending limit that a person gets approved for when they're buying $200 worth of stuff. And it's not something that can be put to use anywhere. It's specific to that merchant and to the item that the person is buying. So for people who can't get approved for credit cards, this is a way in. This is a way in to be able to buy the item they otherwise might not be able to buy. And in many cases, it does become a way for these individuals to build credit, to be able to eventually get approved for credit cards.
Now, in terms of how they work, what are some of the different kinds of buy now, pay later programs out there?
So there's a variety of ways in which these programs work, but they generally are either a pure loan that the person has to repay on a monthly basis, or a payment plan that's attached to an existing debit or credit card.
Now, you mentioned that some of these programs are geared toward consumers who haven't qualified for a credit card. Is there an approval process for consumers to prove that, you know, they have the means to pay?
So they'll have to apply for these payment plans when they are at checkout and are deciding that they want to pursue this type of payment plan. The way that the underwriting works varies by company. Some will check people's credit reports. Some won't. All companies say that whether or not they do check their credit reports, they do look at other data beyond that. Part of what's going on here is that these payment companies are building an ecosystem of merchants. Because, you know, again, talking about some of the more popular ones in the U.S., what's happening is that they're basically racking up thousands of merchants within their own, let's call it, network. So that if a consumer gets an Affirm payment plan, for example, with one merchant, and then doesn't manage that payment plan well, and then is shopping at a different merchant and tries to apply for an Affirm loan, for example, with a different merchant, Affirm has that payment information, has that track record. So that will diminish the person's ability to be able to get approved again for an Affirm plan at a different merchant.
So how do these buy now, pay later companies make money? Is there a fee they charge a merchant like a credit card would?
There is, and this is the main revenue generator for a lot of these buy now, pay later companies. Generally speaking, these fees will be somewhere in the ballpark of 3 to 5% of the purchase price. So this is a costly service for merchants. But with the fees that they're paying, they expect a specific upside to that. An increase in sales, more sales, and more sales in a couple of ways. One, that they are getting shoppers who are actually executing these purchases, making these purchases, who otherwise wouldn't have been. So new shoppers coming in, as well as an increase in the dollar amount of the purchases that consumers are making.
Okay, so these programs might make it easier for consumers to buy, maybe a little too easy in some cases. But are there other drawbacks or risks consumers face when using them?
So there are drawbacks to begin with. Again, this varies depending on how risky or not the buy now, pay later provider views the specific consumer as being. But depending on the provider, there can be interest charges. Those interest charges can run pretty high. They can be in the 20% range, if not 30%. But there are also programs that don't charge any interest. Missing payments, the repercussions for that varies by the company as well. Some companies say that they don't charge late fees. Others do charge late fees. And if people don't make their payments, repercussions can include being reported as being late to the credit reporting firms. The repercussions for using these programs in many ways aren't that different from what happens if you miss your payments on your credit card or the interest that one would be charged for carrying a balance on their credit card, but they do vary. So this is an area where consumers could potentially get tripped up.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis. Anna Maria, it's been great having you on the show.
Great to speak with you. Thanks so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.